Church, their Sunday morning service. It is Father's Day, so happy Father's to all the men in the room, and happy Father's Day to all the men in the room, and hopefully you're going to have a wonderful day. Looking forward to our service today. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I know there's a number of things that are going on in the world today that is many of them disturbing. And Lord, I pray that you calm our hearts and our minds so, Lord, we can hear from you tonight, hear from you this morning in the preaching and teaching of your word. Lord, let the word of God just have a supreme authority in our lives. Lord, there's a lot of different voices out there saying a lot of different things, demanding attention. But Lord, help us never forget the importance of hearing from you and hearing from your word. Lord, we are thankful for our fathers and the men here at Faith Baptist Church. Lord, we pray that you raise up a generation of men that love the Lord, love their families, and Lord, the ones that want to serve you and serve their families. Lord, we pray for the service today. We're asking that you work in the midst of it. Lord, asking that you teach and help each of us today in some type of way. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to have church and have people that are here. Thankful and blessed for that. And we're going to have Brother Jim come lead us in our theme song. If you're able to, we ask that you stand with us as we sing our theme song in our congregational singing.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be all around.
Our next song is 204 in your hymnals, To God Be the Glory. Great things he hath done. We'll sing all three verses, please. 204, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
If you're watching from home or some other place, sing with me. Verse number 2, To God Be the Glory.
Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Give him the glory, great things he hath done.
And the last.
Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
You may be seated.
What our dying world could use is some willing men of God who dare to go against the grain and work without a pause. A man who raised a shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure. God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away. He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and not afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. He calls the broken derelict whose life has been renewed. He calls the ones who know his son to stand up for the truth. Enlistment lines are open, and he wants you to come in. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and not afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and not afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. He just needs a few good men. He just needs a few good men.
Amen, amen. Once again, welcome to Faith Baptist Church. And like I said, God is looking for individuals he can bless. And then once again, it being Father's Day, the emphasis placed on there. A few, he's looking for some men. He's looking for some men he can bless and he can use, whose heart is right with him and perfect with him. So once again, happy Father's Day. Birthdays of the week is Mr. Wesley Norris's birthday today. It's my wife's birthday on the 25th, so happy birthday to both of those. Not very many announcements. We're still kind of slow as we're opening up things, but we are going to have our first fellowship, and that is on the 12th. It's going to be a graduation fellowship as we celebrate Andrew graduating from high school. Also, we will be having a business meeting tonight. So those are just a couple of different announcements. But we're thankful that you're here. And once again, we're very thankful for our fathers, thankful for the leadership they provide, and also the godly stand that they take, and the men here of Faith Baptist Church, praying that God will continue to bless here. And along the ways, one of the ways that God is going to bless is by having godly men take a stand and do what is right. But once again, thankful for everyone that's here, especially thankful for our fathers today.
All right, for our last song, we're going to sing a song that's not in your hymnal. We're going to sing God of Our Fathers. God of Our Fathers. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4 in the old songbook.
God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band of shining worlds in splendor through the skies, our grateful songs before thy throne arise. Verse 3, from war's alarms, from deadly pestilence, be thy strong arm, our ever sure defense, thy true religion in our hearts increase, thy bounteous goodness nourish us in peace.
And the last.
Refresh thy people on their toilsome way. Lead us from night to never-ending day. Fill all our lives with love and grace divine. And glory, Lord, and praise be ever thine.
Fathers have a great responsibility, teach the next generation of God's revealed mysteries. We've seen God's hand of power in our lives. They need to see our faith displayed in the ups and downs of life. Children are the crown of old men. Father, please lead me to lead my children right. Father, show me thy will, that they your will may find. I pray their souls you'll save while they're young and tender today. Champion for Christ. When a father is not a father in their life, Father, please lead me to lead my children right. Father, show me thy will, that they your will may find. All their days conform. thine image, I pray. So my children who look like me, look like thee.
Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 4. I like that. That children that look like me will look like thee. That was good. So thankful for that. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to have influence in people's lives. This morning's message is titled, Consider What It Means to Walk Worthy. Consider what it means to walk worthy. And in Ephesians chapter number 4, if you broke Ephesians, the whole book up in two different spots, the first half would be mostly about doctrine. The second half would be about walking or practical Christian living. So the first half, you've learned so many wonderful truths, and we've gone through portion of the first half and the majority of the first half of the book, and we're going to begin going through the second half of the book either on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. But here in Ephesians chapter number 4, the Lord led me to this message, and it's about, you say, it's today's Father's Day, and the easy or the thing I enjoy more preaching about is a story about a father. But today it's going to be more about walking worthy of the calling that God's given you. So in my mind, God's given us all a calling. Now, some of us he's called to be fathers, some he hasn't. Does that make one person better than another? No. If you said that a person doesn't have a child, that they're not as good, no, that means God made a mistake. God doesn't make any mistakes, right? Amen? God doesn't make any mistakes. But here we all have a calling that's on our life. We're going to look a little bit about that. But it says in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, we're going to focus verses on 1 and 2. The reason why I read the other verses is because of the fact that I want you to understand what the context of the sermon is, or the context of the scripture is. What does the context mean? Means the original meaning, what the author is trying to write. And now we're going to try to make some application. We're going to take these original meanings and we're going to apply it to a specific area. Now, in verses 1 through 6, is specifically written to the church about the unity that is needed inside the church. And how, as you see here, they're endeavoring, verse number 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling. And he's talking about one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He's talking about, it's all about the one God, and it's talking about the church house. Now, we're going to apply our parts inside the church house, how there are certain things that we are called to do as believers. And I'm not trying to stretch you here, but I'm trying to make it specific. Now, obviously, Father's Day, we're going to be focusing a little bit on the fathers, but you don't have to tune out and say, well, I'm not a father, I don't have to listen today, because this is applicable for all of us. Because even though he hasn't called all of us to be fathers, you know what he has to? He has called all of us to a certain responsibility. You heard Brother Todd sing about how a great responsibility, and that is as a father. But whatever the calling that God has on your life, you have a great responsibility. And that's what we're going to look at, whether or not we're walking worthy according to this responsibility. Because that word worthy talks about appropriately, even becometh as a godly sort. So that idea of walking, talking about our normal day-to-day lives, are we doing it appropriately? Are we doing the responsibilities of vocation wherewith we've been called appropriately? And that becometh godly. And I like that. And today I'm hoping that you'll get what I'm trying to, I believe the Lord's laid upon my heart. I pray the Holy Spirit of God teach you something really important today. But let's walk worthy. If you're a believer today, you're a child of God, you're a child of the King, and there are certain ways we are supposed to act, and that's why it's saying that we are walking worthy. We are looking around and we see certain people and they behave in a certain way, and we look at them and said, they're not behaving properly. If there was an ambassador from the United States of America that went over into another country and represented our country and did something that was wrong, we would say that they did not represent us well. They did not do their job in a worthy way. They did not do it in an appropriate way. And you begin looking at all the different things that are happening in the United States today, and you look at some people and say, you know what? They're not acting appropriately. They're not acting in a way that it'd be godly. And this is from both sides of the issues. There are people that are acting and not walking properly. And that's where you get to the spot, are we walking worthy today? And it's wonderful in verse number one, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So that's the question today, is we should consider what it means to walk worthy. Am I living up to what God has called me to do? And I know sometimes there is certain expectation for certain people. I don't know much about England or the Queen of England and the different royal protocols, but I know a little bit that, you know, if they break a certain protocol, they're not behaving the way that is expected of a royal family. And sometimes when you look around at believers today, you look at them and the world seems like they know more than the believer does, because the world knows, hey, that's not the way a Christian should act, and that's not what a believer should say. And there's believers on the other side says, oh, God doesn't care what you do. That's just wrong. So today we're going to look at this idea about walking worthy with the thought behind it, the great, awesome responsibility of being a father. And behind that, are we walking worthy of the calling that God's given us? Now, once again, if you're not a father, I understand. Then are you walking worthy of being a mother? Are you walking worthy of being a child of God as a wife, as a husband, as a child? All the different, the role that God has placed you in, whatever that is today, are you walking worthy of that? Walking worthy. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. God, I pray you help us this morning. Lord, we want to be doing what's right. We're here at church. We have desires to want to live for you. But Lord, sometimes we need explanation with that. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us truth. And Lord, preserving this truth so it can be passed down from generation to generation to generation. And God, I pray that we don't begin to say what walking worthy means according to these world standards. Different people are going to say different things. But Lord, as we look at the calling that you have upon our lives, that we would walk worthy according to your expectation for us. Lord, help us to silence the voices that are trying to take away our attention from you and your word, and to speak boldly about what you would consider appropriate and what you would consider acceptable. Lord, help have the thoughts of our hearts and the meditation of the hearts and the words of our mouth to be acceptable in thy sight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Pastor, you use that word walk worthy. That sounds a little familiar, but that's because it's found in other places in the Bible too. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10. Paul is praying for this church of Colossae, and he says, and this is his prayer, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He's talking to the church of Colossae. He said a lot of wonderful things about them. He says, look, you're set up. You're a believer. You're part of a church. Now it's time to walk worthy, which means walking appropriately. As a Christian, there are certain ways that we're supposed to walk and we're supposed to behave. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 puts it this way, that ye would walk worthy of God who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. So these are verses that says this phrase, we should be walking worthy. Now, let's break down verse number one just a little bit here, and we'll hop into the message. First thing he says, Paul is writing, obviously, he says, I therefore. Now, that word therefore means likewise or accordingly. After he has written in verses chapters 1 through 3 about the riches, talking about the benefits we have, and talking about the position we have in Christ, and being seated up in the heavenlies, talking about all these wonderful things that used to be lost, but now we're saved. And it's a great 3 chapters of the Bible. It talks about all the great riches we have in our position of Jesus Christ. Now he's coming to chapter number 4. Because of all the things that chapter 1, 2, and 3 say, now therefore, and what does he do? He says, the prisoner, Lord. I want you to see that. He writes down the prisoner, Lord. That word prisoner means to be held captive. Now, he doesn't say he's the prisoner of Rome, but that's where who has him captive right now. Why does he call himself the prisoner, the Lord? It's because he says, this is where God's called me at right now. This is the position, this is the role I have as the prisoner of the Lord. And so this is the spot. He understands, he sees things through God and what God is doing and what God is working. And we might be going through a hard time, but God is the one that's allowing things to happen. And he says, the prisoner of the Lord, he says, I'm not the prisoner of Rome. Rome could not hold me for a second if God did not allow it. And he sees that and he's going to say, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech. Now that word beseech it's an invitation. It's a call for a comfort desire. It's to exhort. It is to entreat. And some people would say it's in a form that it's almost like a begging. They are pleading with you. He says, I therefore am pleading with you. He says, I am asking, I'm exhorting you, I'm challenging you. He says, challenging to do what? He says, that you walk worthy. That word walk, I believe, speaks a little bit of how we are day to day in just our normal walk. And then it says walk worthy. And that word worthy, we mentioned a couple of times, means appropriately. And also refers to the fact that of a godly sort. Then it continues on and he says of the vocation. Now that word vocation is talking about an invitation, a calling. He says the call I have on you, that vocation. And he keeps on going. He says wherewith you were called. So what Paul is saying, he says, look, I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ. God has called me to this ministry. Now, as the prisoner, I'm beseeching you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading you that you would walk, that you would live your day-to-day life appropriately as becometh godliness for what he's called you to do. Now, that vocation is for the things that he's called you to do. I want you to do it appropriately, and I want you to do it in a form of godliness, becoming godliness. He says, so what does that mean? And that's what we're going to talk about. Consider what it means to walk worthy. If we're going to walk worthy, I think there's some things we need to understand. The first thing I think we need to understand is to consider our calling. Consider our calling. Throughout the scriptures, over and over, it talks about a calling that God has on our life. Think about what it says in 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And there's some descriptions there. What does he call it? He says, number one, he says it's a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And it says that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you. So what is our calling in life? He says, you know what? We're different. We're royalty because we're part of the family. And not only we're royalty, we're going to be a different people when we're supposed to be holy. And he says that what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to show forth, which means proceed out to show the rest of the world the praises of him. So that means our lives is not a reflection of us. It's not a reflection of how, look how good I am. No, instead it's a reflection of look how good God is, who have called us out of darkness. Once again, he's called us, what is our calling? We need to understand he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's three things I want you to think about this calling. The first thing I want you to think about, it's a high calling. It's a high calling. The scripture says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward a mark for the prize of the, anybody know the next two words? It's a high calling. Isn't that awesome? I like that. You think about it. It is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So here's what the scripture is saying. He says, look, I want you to walk worthy, but the only way you're going to walk worthy is you first understand the calling of God. He says, walk worthy of the vocation where there's you are called. What's the calling of God in your life? He says, well, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm on my way. Okay. So what about after that? There is a high calling God has on your life. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He says, Paul was saying, I press toward a mark for the prize. And then he says, I press toward a mark for the prize of the high calling. He says, look, I realize something, that the calling of God is something that is high. It's something that's exalted. It is the high calling of God. I don't know about you, but there is nothing greater you can do with your life than do what God's called you to do. somebody jokingly the other day, I don't talk a lot about politics, especially out in the pulpit, but, you know, conversation, someone said they liked your ideas, and they said to me, maybe you should run for president. I kind of smiled at them, and they said, oh, no, your job's more important than that. And so I said, you know what? It is. And he said, what do you mean? I said, it's what God's called me to do. As a pastor, that's more important. Whatever God's called you to do, you know what that is? That's a high calling. Don't run away from it. Don't be jealous of somebody else. Don't be saying, I think God should have done this, or I think God should have done that. See the calling God has put in place in your life and put in your life, and accept it and embrace it, because that's the only way you're going to walk worthy of it, is when you know it's a calling, and it's a calling that comes from God. So you come to the spot, it's Father's Day, and you say, okay, I'm a father. That's a calling from God, and it's a high calling. Now you say, well, I'm not a father, whether it's as a husband, as a wife, whatever it is, your role that God has placed you in, you're right there and say, you know what, I'm going to run my race, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. It's a high calling. The reason why it's a high calling is because of who it comes from. You know, that person over there that I was talking to out there at the Welcome Center that says, hey, you should be the president. You know, I smiled, and we were joking back and forth, because that person has no more political pull than I do. Now, if Donald Trump called me up and said, hey, do you want to be my next vice president? I would say no. But, you know, it's still the same thing. You know, it's a different person. You know, Donald Trump actually has the opportunity to pick their vice president. So his calling would be a little bit different than just somebody sitting out there by the Welcome Center. But I'm trying to tell you here is that when God places a calling on your life, and God has a purpose on your life, it's not just your mom calling you, it's not just your dad calling you, it's not even your pastor calling you, or so many people that are sitting in the pews saying, hey, this is what you should do, or your friends, you know, you should do this, you should do that. You know what it is? It is a high calling, because it comes from God, and that's what God wants you to do. That's what God wants you to be. And we shouldn't say, well, I wish I was this, or I wish I was that. It says, you know what? I'm going to press toward a mark for the prize of the high calling of God, because it's of God. Not only is it a high calling, it's a holy calling. Nowhere has he called us to go be in the pig pen. Nowhere has he called us to go out there and live an immoral life. Nowhere has he said, okay, you go ahead and live and sow your wild oats. No, it's a holy calling. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 1:9, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So what it says in 2 Timothy 1:9, he says, we were called with a holy calling, but not according to our own works. No one did, God didn't come and say, okay, I'm going to choose you to be a father because I think you'd be a really good dad. You know, sometimes people will say that to one another, oh, you make a really good father, you make a really good mother, you this. And I understand what they're saying, but God doesn't say that. God doesn't say, I didn't choose you based off your works. He says, I chose you for my purpose. And he says, with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace. God has placed us in a position on purpose for his purpose and for his grace in our lives. So as we're considering where we are in the race that God set before us, let's consider this. It's a high calling because it's from God. It's a holy calling, yes, because it's from the Lord, but it's one that is not according to what we want. It's according to his purpose for our lives. You know, once again, I think sometimes, obviously, God calls certain people, and he enables certain people and gives certain people gifts. I get that. He enables us to do what he's called us to do for our purpose and our reason. But we shouldn't live our lives thinking, okay, what should I do? Instead, it's, Lord, what is it you want me to do? It shouldn't be about God. What is it that, it should be about God. I'm looking for what you desire. You are my God. You are my Lord. Instead, most people think, what would I enjoy? I tell you, the greatest thing you can do in your life is find out what God wants you to do and then do it with all your heart. And here's what, if you're a father today, are you walking worthy of it? Are you walking worthy because it's a high calling? It's a holy calling. Next thing is, it's a calling that should humble us. Look what it says in Ephesians 4:2. And it says, for with all lowliness. Now that word lowliness is speaking about humble. And we're talking about, remember, God resisteth the proud. I don't know about you, but it is a very humbling thing to be a father. I remember the first time I held Christian in my arms. I remember the first time I held Andrew in my arms, and I thought, wow, that little guy that was there, well, they weren't really that little. They were kind of big, not as big as some, though. And I'm sitting there, I'm holding and thinking, man, what it's humbleness. You know, that guy, I'm responsible for that guy, not just financially, but I'm supposed to protect them, but I'm supposed to lead them in the ways of God. I tell you, it's a humble thing. If you would ever consider what God has given you to do and what he's calling you to do, the vocation wherewith you are called, it would humble you, because God has chosen you and given you this skill set with these abilities for this time right now for you to do his work. He saved you for a purpose. He saved you for a reason. And it's a high calling. It's a holy calling. And if it will humble us, it will be, God, please lead me. I need you to lead me so I can lead those others that come behind me. So I think to be able to walk worthy, we first got to understand the calling. If we're ever truly going to walk worthy of the Lord, or unto all pleasing, like it says in Colossians, or we're ever going to walk worthy of the vocation which we are called, you know, we have to understand that calling first. It's not mama sent, daddy called. It is God called me. It's a high calling, and I'm going to press toward that mark. It's a holy calling. It's a call for holiness, and it's a call that should humble us, because we know it's God calling and speaking to us. That's when he could say, the prisoner of the Lord. He's not sitting there and saying, oh, can you come get me out of jail? Can you come break me free? I'm horrible here. I need help. I need this. I need that. No. He says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the prisoner of the Lord. And he says, this is where he has me. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I'm living here for him. And this is what I'm supposed to do. The second thing is, not only do we need to consider our calling, we need to consider our walk. Consider our walk. Now, many times when this word walk is mentioned in the Bible, it's referring to just a normal walk in our day-to-day lives, how we normally live our lives. And when he says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. So when we're talking about how we can walk worthy, we need to understand the word walk. He's talking about our normal conversation, how I am going to walk and how I'm going to live for God and how I do my day-to-day things. I need to do it in an appropriate manner, something that is becoming of God. I don't need to live a life that is not appropriate. I don't need a life that is not becoming of God, of a godly sort. Instead, I need to live a life that is becoming of a godly sort, something that is appropriate. Don't you agree there are certain things that are appropriate for a Christian to do and certain things that are not appropriate for a Christian to do? There are certain things that a Christian should not say. There are certain things a Christian should not be a part of. There's an appropriateness, because God is calling us and telling us to walk. And I like this thought about walking, and I know we've talked about it before, but back in the book of Genesis, it says Enoch walked with God. Genesis 5 again says Enoch walked with God. Genesis chapter number 6 says Noah walked with God. And I began thinking about, what does it mean to walk with God? I think what it means to walk with God, it means that every day as we're taking and living our normal day-to-day life, we live consciously in the presence of God, and we let God lead us and God guide us. The scripture says in Amos chapter number 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So the only way that you're going to be walking with God and walking worthy is if you consider your walk. Are you walking with the Lord? It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And let me give you a little hint here. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to change your ways. We serve a God that will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same forever. You know why? He's not going to change. So if you're waiting for God to catch up with you and change his ways so he starts going in your direction, it's never going to happen. But when you consider a person who's walking worthy, who's walking appropriately, it's a person who's walking with God, because they say, okay, God, this is where you're going. This is the way you want me to go. And if this is the way you want me to go, I'm going to go your way, because you're not going to change your way. There's three things about your walk with God. The first thing is you don't want to walk in front of him. You don't want to get ahead of God. It's amazing when you think about scripture and you think about people, there are people that try to get ahead of God and it always ended bad. You need to make sure you're walking at the same pace. When you're walking with someone, it's a challenge. I know we've used this illustration before, and it's gotten to the point when I go walking with my sons, now they leave me behind because they're walking a lot faster. They're running. But if you're going to walk with somebody, you're going to walk at the same pace. And once again, God's not changing his way. God's not changing his pace. And we need to learn not to sit there and try to make things happen. Instead, we need to let God do the work and let God do the leading and let God show us the direction he wants us to go. It's not something we should try to get ahead of God. It's also something that we should not get behind God. We shouldn't have to be God shouldn't have to be pulling us along. If we're going to be walking with him, we're going to be walking at the same pace. God's not going to have to turn around and say, come on, you should be up here, you should be up here. No. If we're going to walk with God and we're going to walk worthy, we're going to be walking in his direction, not in front of him, not behind him. We're going to be walking with the Lord. Now, church, what's important about that? Well, there's many of us that want to get ahead of God. God, this is what I think you should do, and maybe we'll go buy something before we really God wanted us to. Or maybe we'll start, I think we need to fix this problem, and we'll go out without checking with the Lord, without truly praying about it, and say, we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. That's important. Don't try to get in front of God. Let God do the working. Let God do the leading. I think about some of the stories in the Bible when it talked about those that were going into the Canaan land, and the two spies came back and said, let's go do it. The other 10 said no, and the people revolted. And then what did God say? Nope, you guys can't go anymore. Then there was still a group that said, you know what? We're going to go, and we're going to go fight them anyway. And they ended up dying. What is it? They were not walking with the Lord. They were not doing the way God wanted to. God wanted them to move forward, and they refused to move forward. God wanted them to relax, and instead they try to jump ahead. It's amazing. In our lives, we need to learn how to stand still and know that he's the Lord. We need to learn how to be still and know that he's God. We need to learn to walk with him day by day as he leads us. Yes, you should prepare for the future. Yes, you should do things that are going to be a help and do those things that you believe God wants you to do. But we got to remember to walk with him. If you're going to really walk worthy, it's not going to be your own walk. You're not going to be going your own direction. You ever seen somebody that the boy or the child wanted to go to the toy store and the mom or the dad wanted to go the other way and they kept on looking and kept on turning around and kept on walking? Microphone. Are we there now? Okay. So it's the idea, are you walking with the Lord? Are you walking in your own path? Not only do we need to consider our walk, we also need to consider what God says is worthy. I think about sometimes what the people are saying is okay doesn't mean that God says it's okay. I think and understand what the world is saying today may not be what the scripture says is okay. And I think about what people are trying to instill into our hearts and instill into our lives that could be anti-God and anti-scriptural. And we need to say, okay, we're not walking worthy of this world. The scripture says here, if I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation which your friends called you, what your parents called you, know what your enemies have told you need to do, know is what ye are called, talking about God. And so what is appropriate? What is a godly sort? What would God say is worthy? And you find that in verse number 2. And then he continues and he says, with all lowliness. Now this word lowliness, as we mentioned already, talks about being humble. And then he continues on, and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. So what the scripture is saying, if you're going to walk worthy, if you're going to walk in a way that is pleasing unto God and that's appropriate for a believer, this is the description that's found there. If you read those words, lowliness and meekness with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, what many people would look at that and say, that's weakness. That's what a sissy would do. That is not what a strong person would do. But what God is saying, if you're truly going to walk worthy of the name of Jesus Christ, these are some of the things that are going to be portrayed in your life. The first thing, when you think about lowliness, it speaks of being humble. If you're going to walk worthy, we have to do it humbly. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. See, pride is tearing up our families today. We need to learn how to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We're not forgetting about his calling on our life. We're not forgetting about what he has asked us to do. But we're remembering he's the one that called us. If he has called us to do a certain job, he has called us to do it a certain way. Even as fathers, you say, well, if I serve my family humbly, you know what's going to happen? They're going to walk all over me. No, it's not. The scripture is saying here that God is resisting those who are prideful, that God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. What it means to be lowliness in our family roles, it means that we are humbled by saying, you know what? I understand God's role for my life. I understand God's calling. I understand the walk. And because I understand those things, I say, God, you're the one in charge. I'm going to put you first, and I'm going to be clothed in humility. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 28:25 says, he that is proud of heart stirreth up strife. There is so much divisiveness in our homes today and in our churches, and we see in our country, is because pride is the root of all of it. People are not willing to humble themselves before God. People are not willing to give God his due and give God the glory to his name. Instead, people want to do things their way. People want to do things according to their plans and their purposes and how they think things should be done. And God says, I'm resisting that. I'm going to give grace unto those that are humble. I'm going to give grace unto those that are bowing the knee and saying, okay, God, what is it you want me to do next? Now, when we come to a certain role in our lives, we say, okay, I'm called to do this. I need to, he says, you need to do it with lowliness. Now, you see the next word as meekness. Now, meekness is an interesting word. It's a great Bible word. Moses was described as one of the most meek men in all the world. Jesus was even described as meek and lowly in spirit. Meekness does not mean weakness. Meekness means power under control. It means strength under control. It means that you have the right and the ability and the strength to accomplish something, but you do this in a controlled manner. You think about Jesus Christ. Did he have the power to come off the cross? He did. Did he have the power to get rid of everybody? He did. But he uses that strength under control. Yes, when there was a time for him to act out, when it was necessary, what did Jesus do? He cleared out the money changers, didn't he? He did that. No one would call him a sissy that day when he himself clears out a whole temple full of people. He was no type of sissy. He was no type of weakling. He just knew his power and his strength was under control. And you think about it, this word has been associated with a soothing medicine. Also a colt that had been broken, a soft wind, different ways it's been described. In each case, they have power, but in each case, that power is in control. Humbleness and lowliness and meekness refers to the fact that, yes, we have power, we have strength, we have rights, but they are all under complete control of the Holy Spirit of God. And I want you to think about that when you consider a father. A father who does things humbly as being led by the Lord, looking to the Lord for leadership and guidance. And you also think about a father and their authority and their right as the authority and the head of the household and the leadership. But they have that leadership under control. They have it under the control of the Holy Spirit, and they act in a way that is appropriately and that is of a godly sort. Same thing when it comes to our moms. The same thing it comes to our children. Same things when it comes to the roles of a husband and the roles of a wife. It's speaking about the roles inside the church here. But who leads and guides what happens inside the church is the houses, is in the families. If there is a dad or a mom that runs down the pastor or the things that are going on at the church and you wonder why they never respect the authority that you have over them, is because maybe you didn't respect the authority that God has placed in your heart and in your life. So he says here, he says, look, you need to walk worthy of the vocation that you are called. That means by the way God would do it. It's with lowliness and meekness. And then it continues on with long suffering. Now that word long suffering means the ability to endure discomfort without fighting back. This involves patience and restraint, which if not exercised will result in anger and evil conduct. Now, don't get me wrong. There is not meaning weakness. It's not meaning not fulfilling your role. It means walking in a worthy way that we're being patient and kind. I talked about to my Sunday school class today about how I'm thankful for God's long suffering or God's mercy and how many times he has been merciful to me, that he had the opportunity and the right to destroy my life because of the sin that I haven't got right or because I keep on messing up. But his power is under control. He is long suffering. And then he says, forbearing one another in love. This is talking about willing to help carry someone in love. Everything needs to be done in love. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. So what the scriptures are saying is, hey, look, if you want to know how to walk worthy, he gives a description here. And I like to apply that to our own hearts today in our own roles. Now, are you doing what God has called you to in a humble way? Are you doing it in a way where you realize you need God's help, that you're not leaning into your own understanding, but instead you're humbly bowing the knee and saying, God, I want you to lead me and guide me. Then we do it with meekness. I've talked to people before and it says, you know what? You have a right. You have strength. You have power. You have the ability to act and react right now. But the word meekness means that you take that right that you have and that power that you have and you use it under control. You use it as the Lord leads you and guides you in a way that is appropriate and in a way that is godly of a sort. And then you consider this idea of long-suffering. Even though you're watching all these things happen as they're talking about being humble and you're talking about being meek, and then you come to the spot that I am able to bear these things. Even though it may cause me injury, is something I can bear for a little while to allow God to work in my heart and allow God to work in the other people. And then it continues, forbearing one another in love. Now, if we started treating one another like this in our house, how much of a difference would we see? If we would learn to humbly serve one another, you say, Pastor, that's not the role of a father. Well, the Bible does say in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and clothed with humility. It's the idea that we understand where our role is and that we're walking worthy of the vocation where we're called, and we're doing this humbly and we're doing this with meekness, even though we know we have the right, even though we know we have the strength, we're doing it under the control of the Holy Spirit, and we're being long-suffering. We're willing to help carry someone in love because we know that maybe they're struggling and they could use the help. I used the example a couple times when there's a problem in someone's house and there's a problem with one person or another, and I got my rights, I know that. But I said, somebody needs to be Ruth to Naomi. So what do you mean? Well, you go back to that story. Ruth wants to go with Naomi. What does Naomi do? I want you to go back. Ruth says no, and Ruth clings to her. Ruth wasn't going to let her go. Ruth wanted to hold on to her mother-in-law because of her responsibility and because of the Lord that she was going to want to worship. Naomi gets to back to Bethlehem. She's grumpy. I'm sure she's not very easy to deal with. Anybody live with someone that's not easy to deal with? Don't raise your hand. It's going to cause problem. But, there are some people, and I says, you need somebody who's going to be like Ruth to Naomi. There is going to be somebody who is going to have a lowliness of mind and be humble and say, you know what, God, I need you to work. And I know if I raised up and I reared back, you know what, God, you're not going to be able to work through my pride, but you can work through my humility. You can work through my meekness. You can work through my long-suffering. You're not going to work through my arguing. You're not going to work through my yelling. You're not going to work through my pride. But you know what you can do? As I'm forbearing one another in love, you can give them an opportunity. I think about the story of Joseph and his brothers. What a beautiful story. Lowliness, humbleness that was there. Meekness. If anybody had the power to put those guys to death and they deserved to, or put in jail, serve them for the rest of their life, Joseph had that. But you know what? It was under the control of the Holy Spirit. He carried them. And as he carried them, he did it in love. And I consider certain Bible characters, I consider different people and different things. There's not a lot of great examples of fathers in the Bible. There is some. You look it up and you do a search online. It's to me, it's almost comical. You type in the greatest fathers of the Bible, and they're putting up there Adam, and Adam had struggles, and I know we all do. And then they put up there Jacob and Isaac, and it's kind of weird. It's not the guys I would have chosen. And you're looking at it, we need godly men. We need godly fathers. And when I was reading through this, and I was looking through this, okay, walk worthy of the vocation where you're called, I want to walk worthy as a believer. The vocation, the responsibility, the calling God's put on my life. Yes, first and foremost, I'm a child of God. That's my vocation. I've been called. I believe I'm a believer. Secondly, I think my next role is inside my family as a husband and a father. That's the calling God has on my life. Then I believe the next role is as a pastor, and as a, you know, those are different. Those are the different things in my life, the different priorities in my life. I want to walk worthy in all those locations and of all those different responsibilities. How do I do that? It's right here. We do it with the fruits of the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. Now let me also say that does not mean that we're silent. It does not mean that we are weak. It does not mean we allow people to abuse us. In the day and time that we live in, I know there's the culture and everything else. It looks like you're going to have to choose sides. It looks like you're going to have to take a stand for what it's right. You're going to have to stand and do what you believe. But make sure we do it with being humble, letting God lead us and guide us. And as God leads us, we speak loud. We do it in a way, and this is speaking to the church. This is, and I'm speaking specifically to our inside our families. But when it comes to dealing with those that are lost and those that are doing that's wrong, there's things that the scriptures speak about that and speak about that. We should always treat people in a way, and we should always walk worthy. Walking worthy does not mean that we have to stay quiet. It does not mean that we remain silent when we're supposed to speak. Walking worthy means we understand what God's called us to do, and we stand up and we speak for the things God calls us to speak on and speak out about and stand for. There were things that, you know, why is Paul sitting in jail? He's not sitting in jail because he listened to what the Roman government said. He's sitting in jail because he preached and because he did what he thought was important. He did what he thought was right. But we're not walking worthy of what the president says or what the Speaker of the House says. We're walking worthy of the vocation where which we are called by God. And you're called by God. And it says, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering. If you are thinking about all the different things that happen in the world today, one of the words that comes to my mind is divided. There are so many people divided in so many different ways. And you think about the divisiveness in the homes of today. How many times in our homes today could it be changed if we were spirit-filled people looking to be people that were humble, meek, forbearing one another with love? I want to encourage you today, challenge you today, as the Apostle Paul did. Remember what God's called you to do and walk worthy of it. There's things that are appropriate. Do I think part of the problem in America today is a lack of leadership in the house? Yes. 100 times yes. Do I think people need Christ? I do. Do I think people need fathers that are going to love God and serve God? I do. Do I think that generations have dropped the ball when it comes to teaching, fathers teaching their children godly things? Yes. Not just in churches, but even out there. There are so many people that live without a father even in the house. And I understand that sometimes fathers pass away, and I believe God would give grace to that family. But there's a lot of broken homes today, and there's a lot of people that do not have father figures because of the fact that fathers are not standing up. And the same thing, a lot of houses that don't have moms, the same thing. There is a problem. How are we going to fix it? We're not going to fix it. Who's going to fix it? God's going to fix it if anybody's going to fix it. How are we going to get where God wants us to be? We have to walk worthy with what God has called us to do, what God as believers has called us to do. And how do we do that? First, we consider. What do we consider? We consider our calling. We consider how we're walking. And then we consider what is worthy in God's eyes. Now, you're going to have people tell you, this is what you should be doing. You're going to have people looking at you and say, this is what you need to do. But let's consider what God says. And as we go from his word, we stand and do what is right. We need revival. We need a great change in the world. But one of the best places it's going to start is in our churches. The only way it's going to happen in our churches is if it happens in our homes. And the one that is supposed to be leading it in our homes is our fathers. Doesn't always happen that way in our husbands, but that's where it's going to make a difference. So I want to encourage you today, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Consider your call. Consider your walk, and consider what God says is worthy. Let's pray.